If you didn't see it, it's probably YouTube by now. It is? Okay. Say what? See it, My Hope America. But it was great. The testimonies on there, those two testimonies, the way they wove his message of the cross into that, very, very well done. Very well done. We'll pray in just a moment about three things. Three things going on right now. The death toll in the Philippines is probably over 10,000 right now. One of the worst storms that's ever hit the planet in as long as we've been tracking storms. Winds got to 235 miles an hour. Sustained winds of 190. I mean, we're talking Cat 5. Is there something above a Cat 5? But it reminded me of, how we denigrate the power of God. We denigrate His power. And with one breath of His nostrils, this things change. I know some of you have Filipino friends who are here in Savannah. Probably need to call them and see if they've heard from their family. And here's the thing about over there, the disease and all the stuff that follows, which, by the way, we hadn't heard of all the stuff that's followed the thing in Japan. They've been real quiet and hadn't exactly told all the truth about everything that happened there because they're supposed to be first-rate country in the world. Kind of like we lie sometime. Not kind of, it's the exact same thing. But we need to be praying for those people. Filipinos all over the world. Yeah, Kim? What's the name of the ministry, Kim?
Fullness in Christ.
Okay, we'll pray for them too today. Second thing, tomorrow is Veterans Day, and you missed a great service this morning at 9:30 today. It was wonderful. The videos, the everything that remind us to be thanking God and praying for our brothers and sisters all over the world. So I wanted to remind you of that. And the third thing is, if you haven't been paying attention to it, certain people in our government have decided, starting back in June, unbeknownst to our country, that they would start lifting sanctions on Iran. And it is at fever pitch right now. I know we're concerned about, what Britney Spears is going to do this week, and what we're going to have for supper. But this is real life stuff that is happening in the world. The scripture says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem," and heard Joel say it yesterday, very, very, very well. Young Joel, as we lift our hand off of Israel, God is lifting His hand off of us. That is a great way. That is direct correlation between those two things. And it is a mess right now. That thing right there. That alone. That one event. And now the Iranians are trying to jerk us around, even though we've done all this. It's still not enough. It will never be enough. Never be enough. So those are three things I want to lead us in prayer about right now. Let's pray together. Lord, we do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'm asking you, Lord. I'm asking you that you will get our attention in this nation, that we will turn to you, that you'll bring revival to this nation, and we'll turn our hearts toward the Lord today. And Lord, we're asking for forgiveness, for praying for our leaders when we've not acted ourselves. So, Lord, we confess that sin to you. We pray, Lord, you would you'd go before us. And Lord, we also pray for our Filipino brothers and sisters and all those in that nation, the devastation that has gone on right now. I pray, Lord, for your comfort and your peace. And I pray that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, will go forth with power. Now, Lord, we pray for our men and women who are spread out all over the world, who bear arms, who are defending the freedom of this nation. Lord, this is a bright and shining light in this country of freedom. And we thank you for it. And we pray for them. And Lord, we thank you for those who have spilt their blood for the freedom that this nation enjoys. And we do pray also for our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world who are being persecuted for their faith. I pray your encouragement and your power. And Lord, I pray that when the enemy goes to swat out the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he'll scatter the sparks that will go forth in revival and renewal, and many more people will come to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. And just to follow up on Muslim and fellowship or community, we're going to come back to that and we're going to look at that again. Late last night, Lord put this on my heart and I want to give it to you today. In Genesis chapter 16, this will be a familiar story to you. Very familiar story. Let me read it. And Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne no children. She had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go to my maid, and perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife, Sarai, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as wife. By the way, there's no detail in here that's not important. There's no flyover material in the Word of God. Every detail is important. So listen closely. And he went to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" Yeah. Isn't that interesting? They're out in the middle of nowhere. And he gives all that specificity there. Yeah. It's almost comical. She said, "I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." And when the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Well, we're going to come back to that. That's interesting. "Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I'll greatly multiply your descendants so they will be too many to count. Angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you're with child, you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael." Is this starting to have a familiar ring here? "Because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He'll be a wild donkey of a man. Now, there's other words you could say there. You know, you see it. It was saying his description is going to be. His hand will be against everybody. And everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers. You getting a sense about who we're talking about here? Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are God who sees. And she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? She knew a little bit of theology. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son, whom she bore Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. And let me tell you, that piece I just read to you ought to be on the morning news, because that right there is a description of the roots of where our world is right now. Now listen to me closely. All of us experience challenges in our lives, don't we? Lack of money, sickness comes to us, division comes in family, problems that come, things that come out of nowhere. It would be very easy for all of us, when we're confronted by challenges, to forget the promises that God has made to us. Now, the day that you receive Jesus into your life, He made good on that deal. He came to dwell in you. Young people, I hope you're listening to me today, because there's no group that is being targeted any more than you are right now. Targeted where the evil one would say, oh, that's just a bunch of religious mumbo jumbo. I want to tell you today that there was an eternal transaction that took place when you came to faith in Jesus, and He came, the very Spirit of Jesus Himself, the Holy Spirit, came to dwell in you. You became the temple of God. You became His representative in the world. And so wherever you go, He goes. He truly is with you. He is Emmanuel in that. And it'd be very easy for you to forget the promises. Now I want you to see what Sarai says here. Just before, you know, if you read the chapters before, you see the promises that the Lord has made to Abram and Sarah. Has promised them they're going to be this great nation, that their seed is going to be like the sands of the sea. And Sarah's looking at this, and she's getting to be an old woman, and she's wondering, well, these other people are having children. What about me? All these promises, and nothing's happened. Let me ask you, have you ever said that to God? Be honest. You ever said that to Him? You ever thought it? Maybe that's what we ought to say. You thought it. Lord, where are the promises? Where are you? You look at these situations. You look at the situations of life, the real life stuff that's going on. And by the way, isn't it about time that we here in America quit the pretend game? And quit the pretend game that they were before the fall of 2007? When the whole financial crisis thing began, there's still a lot of people trying to pretend that our nation's still like that. That we've got this load of money out there that you can just go grab a hold of some, and your state, your county, your town is going to be benefited, and others will not. That's not how it is. Things have changed. Things have changed in the world. World history has changed. It has turned around. We need to wake up and look at, well, who can we trust today? Who has a word for us? The Lord has a word for us. Now, Sarai is seeing this, and she is she comes to Abram, her husband, and I want you to see here, this is just another picture, just fast forward from the Garden of Eden, right here, into the land of Israel. Because that's exactly what's happening here in this passage. She comes to her husband. She says, now behold, and she uses his covenant name here. And by the way, it's another sermon for another day, and I'll be glad to show you this in private. In the next few verses, all 10 of the 10 commandments are broken. All 10 of them are broken. Now, they hadn't yet been revealed, written in stone yet, but God had written them on their hearts, and they violate all 10 of those commandments right here in what goes on. She uses covenant name. She says, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. You buying that? Huh? The Lord prevented me. Has the Lord prevented her? No. See the turn of phrase? We had Philadelphia lawyers in the garden, didn't we? As they were parsing. You know, remember how the evil one was parsing when he asked that question? Did God really say this? Remember that? We got that going on right here. Same thing. Same spirit, same separation, same division, same promises of God. God is promising great things. And what are we doing here? Doubting. No, the Lord is not preventing. The Lord delayed. Ooh, ooh. Wait a sec. Oh, I just spoke a word we don't like to hear. What is that word? Delay. Wait. Delay. Wait. The promise will be sure. Every false religion on the face of the planet is based on this one thing. Man trying to do for himself what God promised he would do. It is at the root. That is at the root of all false religion. Everything. And what do you call that when man puts something in the place of God that is not God? Our fancy word for that is idolatry. Ooh, there's one of the ten. Idolatry. She comes to her husband. What does her husband do? In the spirit of his father Adam, what did he do? He caved. He caved. So who's guilty in this passage? Everybody. All God's children are guilty. They're all guilty here. The Lord prevented me from bearing children. Please, go to my maid. Oh, man. Whew. You talk about complicating things. You talk about messing up a one-car funeral. Here they are. Go to my maid. And it's going to be all right. She'll provide me a child. I can just move that child over into the spot that's supposed to be Isaac's spot. Oh, yeah, and we might name him something different, but I'm still going to get a child, right? Doesn't work that way. You see, you can't replace your plan for God's, which is back to another thing. Today has never been more important than today in our lives today, to hear the voice of God. Now, so she says, go to my maid. Perhaps I'll obtain children through her. And Abram listened to the voice of his wife. We don't see any argument there on his part. So he goes to Hagar, and she conceives. And when she saw that she had conceived, what happens then? Ooh, man. Whew, that's right, mama's not happy. And nobody's going to be happy. Nobody in those, by this time, I probably several hundred people that are in the whole band of people that are connected to them. Oh man, you talk about ripple effects, because what does Hagar do now? She'd been walking around as the handmaiden. Now, what is she? She's the birth mother of the child of promise, the heir, the one that's coming. So, how do you reckon she wore her clothes? What do you reckon it accentuated to everybody? Everybody, 10 miles away, you wouldn't even need a looking glass. You could tell, oh, she's pregnant. Oh, she was preaching it. And so then, how does she look on Sarai? She despised her. Looked down on her. I'm the one now. I'm the one. Then Sarah comes to Abram. Okay, we're coming back around. What's about to happen? What's about to happen? May the wrong done me be upon you. In other words, what's she saying? Put it in our... It's your fault. It's funny how a lie just boomerangs, doesn't it? It comes back around. And what does she look like to everyone here? She looks like the jilted woman, the scorned woman. But she's not. May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. And then she invokes Yahweh's name again, and she says, may the Lord judge between you and me. Sister, God has already made his judgment. It's not about your brainiac ideas either. It's not about what you want. What you want to put in the place of me. What you stand there and want to pretend that this is God. So Abram says to Sarah, behold, your maid is in your power. Oh man, the fine, upstanding, tall giant of a man, Abram, what does he do? Caves. He runs away. That's your problem. That's essentially what he's saying. That's your problem. Do to her what is good in your sight. So Sarai treated her harshly. And Hagar fled from her presence. What have we got so far? We got God's promises in this story. And God's promise, he had promised to bless them immensely. And then what do they try to do? Do it their own way. They're going to plug in their agenda for God's. What's happened to you? And then later on, when you see what God wants to do and how God wants to do it and the miraculous and powerful way that he wants to do it, and then you look at your weak little attempt to pretend that you're God. You see, that's idolatry. It's putting yourself, you're in rebellion. That's sin. That's it. And as I said, they broke all 10 commandments here. All 10. I'm going to come back to this next week because we've got some more. Going to leave you hanging on this. But I want you to see today what decisions are you making right now where you're putting yourself in the place of God. And how's it working out? Now, we'll go on to see, you know, I'll go ahead and tell you so you can be thinking about it. Who does Ishmael become the father of? Anybody know? Yeah. Now, some debate with some people about you put in Esau and the Edomites and all that. I know that. We can discuss that another time, but... And this wild donkey of a man that'll come out of this, God's going to fulfill his promise and wanted to bless him, but this family struggle that is right here that's just being acted out on a larger stage. I'm telling you, it's always personal. There's no decision you make that's not personal. Every one of them is personal because when you make it, it becomes personal. You try to divorce yourself from it. How well was Abraham able to divorce himself from this decision? No, didn't do such a good job because he couldn't get himself out of that. Please, today, I challenge you. Take an inventory of your life, of the stuff that is going on in your life. And I know some of you have a list of things like right now, and you're coming and you're saying, why has God prevented me from this? And why has God prevented me from this? And why has God prevented this from happening? And he's prevented this from going on in my life. And I want to ask you, have you listened to his promises recently? And are you waiting on him to do what he said he would do in your behalf? Are you waiting? And how easy is it to wait? Let's bow our heads. We're going to open the altar now. And if you'd like to come and pray today, there's a question you need to bring to the Lord. There's a confession you need to bring before Him. What is He saying to you today? Right now. How's He speaking to you? And before you blame Him, why don't you ask Him to show you how He's been trying to work in your life? He may have been trying to give you some things all along. Lord, we give you this time right now as we open the altar. We ask you to come and speak, come and move, come and act in our lives. Lord, truly your ways are not our ways. I'm asking you today that you would get our attention. We would not wander around in the wilderness of sin, trying to make you the fall guy for all that's wrong in our lives. Today you're speaking to us, Lord. You speak in your love and your care. I thank you for that. Lord, we bring our prayers before you. And Lord, if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice who has never received Jesus as their Savior and Lord, the Son of God, who died in our place on the cross and rose again on the third day, I pray, Lord, this will be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray truly that this building would be a house of prayer for all people. As we come and we bring all these things that we're struggling with, and we say, Lord, come. Come and do the miraculous in my life. Thank you. Ask our pastors and our life group leaders to take their places, and the altar's open for you to come and spend some time with the Lord. Don't delay.